Clustered near the southern part of the island were a dozen large earth movers in distinctive yellow paint. A huge pit had been excavated and a cement plant had been erected. A dock had been extended from the beach and a road graded up to the worksite. The work was done by an Italian heavy construction company and paid for through a numbered Swiss bank account, although there is little doubt who was behind it. The Turkish authorities were told it was going to be the largest movie set ever built. Up came another picture. This shows the same site a few months later. As you can see, they have built concrete structures inside their excavation. Eric added, using the heavy equipment to establish scale, the facility's footprint is nearly 50,000 square feet. And at this point in the construction, it has three levels. Holly picked up their story again. 8 months into construction, the bogus movie company said they ran out of money and were pulling the plug on the project. As part of the original contract with the Turks, they were supposed to return the island to its natural state, so that is more or less what they did. He brought up a third picture on the main monitor. There was no sign of the massive excavation. It looked as if nothing had ever happened. All of the material removed from the pit had been returned to it, and the surface was reconfigured so to appear like natural stone. The only thing remaining was the dock and a macadam road that led seemingly nowhere. This picture is from the official Turkish government environmental impact report, Holly continued. We have to assume that some bakshish exchanged hands, and the report was doctored to indicate that EOS was back to normal.
Where's the ELF antenna? Juan asked.
Buried beneath the underground bunker, Eric replied. Max was very specific when he said in his message to nuke it. He could have easily said bomb it. Same number of letters, so it wouldn't have added to the transmission time, but he specifically used the word nuke. I would have liked to consult Mark about this, but I did a quick computer simulation, and if they were pouring concrete for 5 or 6 months and then piled the debris on top, I estimate it will take probably 2 kilotons to crack that nut open.
There has to be a way to get Max out of there, the chairman said.
With all due respect, Eric's voice was hesitant but determined. Our focus should be on silencing that transmitter rather than on Max's rescue. If the attack is coordinated using an ELF signal to cruise ships scattered all over the globe, then its destruction should be our primary concern. The silence was long and pregnant.
Do you have a suggestion?
Juan asked with stiff formality. Actually, I do, sir. It's called Stalin's Fist. The code name rocked Juan back in his chair.
How do you know about that?
You're familiar with it?
You boys mind filling us in? Link called.
Eric typed at his computer and brought up an artist's rendition of a satellite, unlike anything ever orbited before. The main body was a long cylinder, and ringing it were 5 enclosed canisters that were more than 30 feet in length. No one needed to see the hammer and sickle emblem on its side to know it was Russian. The drawing itself had that distinctive Soviet style that was both pompous and amateurish at the same time. Eric commenced. Though its real code name was November Sky, it was known almost exclusively by the nickname Stalin's Fist. It was launched in 1989 at one of the warmest periods during the Cold War, in direct violation of about a dozen treaties.
That's all fine and dandy, Link grumbled, but what in the heck is it?